Well, we are going to wing it today. I have a little red notebook, and next time we won't bring any notes in.
I like it.
Okay. Welcome to Play This Podcast. I'm Carl Sordella. There is no Jason Cross, so sorry. Cry me river. But someday he'll be back. Or actually, someday we'll have a podcast, because sorry, we were gone for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That happened. Well, first there was this thing called Barcelona, and I was there for a long time at this Congress conference thing, yeah. Mobile.
Maybe
World.
You've heard of it.
How yeah. was that?
It was tiring.
That's the one tech event I've never been to, and it's in Barcelona, which sounds awesome.
Well, when you're in the conference center, it's essentially like you're in Moscone Center in San Francisco. Mm. It's, you know, it's kind of no different. Although there's a lot more Spanish. Mm. Hey, let's get into the show. We have an Alex sandwich here for you today, which, yes, it makes it feel awkward immediately.
Which one of us is on top?
Oh, you made it awkward. Actually, you made it awkward, and it wasn't as bad.
That's a viable question, though. So.
It is viable. The one on top is Alex Kuchilova.
All right. Hey, how's it going, guys? I beat you again.
Does that mean you beat him when you're on top? It's all going to get bad. Mm-hmm. Let's just sidestep it. Also here is Alex Waro.
Hi.
When's the last time you were on the show?
I don't know, a while ago.
Yeah.
We didn't have a show in a while.
We haven't been on the air, so it doesn't matter. And so what's the best thing both of you all been playing? Like the hottest thing?
The best thing?
Or the hottest or the most awesome?
The hottest thing is probably SimCity when I can play it.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
And then Alex Waro.
I mean, so like the newest thing I've been playing is Tomb Raider on PC, but really the best thing I've been playing is Dark Souls.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right. We were talking about that before the show. It's still an addictive, hauntingly disturbing, nerve-wracking, I want to kill.
Don't forget difficult.
The game system difficult. Game.
That is my favorite game of my adult life.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's at the end of the show, let's talk about that just for a second then.
Okay.
It's not new news, but it'll be
it's old
news.
Old news.
We're going to start actually with something very interesting, which is a show that I love, near and dear to my heart, Justified. Because I've definitely been pimping it. I think I've pimped it on this podcast before. I pimped it just to anybody who's listening, like at the bus stop. But then you came to me yesterday and you're like, hey, wait, it's on Netflix. Now I'm into it.
Yeah, so it's actually on Amazon Prime. They just
Amazon Prime.
Oh, you got my hopes up.
Yeah, and it's... It's fantastic. It's been going for a while. Have you been watching since the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
It's on FX, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I don't know where they're at now. They're still making new episodes.
It's in season 3. And, yeah, they're making season 3. It's the middle of the season 3. Almost the end of season 3,
actually. Are they only on season 3?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought it was season 4.
It's season 4.
I looked up the synopsis.
I just lied.
Because Prime has at least one.
Oh, see, I wanted to forget season 3. I didn't care for that much. We're in season 4. Yeah, you're right. Season 2 is the best.
I've heard that from many people I respect. I've heard that the back half of season 2 is probably some of the best storytelling on television. I haven't gotten there yet. I just got to episode 6 of season 2, and it's just getting really good. So it's fantastic, and I have high hopes.
Real quick to go back. So some of it's on Netflix, though, right? Like the first season, I believe, is on Netflix?
I have not seen it. I think it would have popped up on my queue at some point.
Okay, so maybe that's an incorrect statement. Why don't we do our homework? I'm not sure. Amazon Prime.
We're winging it today.
Because we're winging it.
No sheets.
So Amazon Prime, though, is where you get the first 2 seasons, you said, or first 3 seasons?
At least the first 2 seasons are free. It has 3 and I think even 4 on there. I think you have to buy episodes of 4. And
yeah, once you get into the new season of stuff, they make you like buy per episode or something.
I think 3 is free on Amazon Prime, though. At least 1 and 2 are, and 1 and 2 are fantastic. That's all you need to know. If you have Prime, go right now and watch them.
It seems similar to a lot of the series where, like, you know, the first couple seasons are like magical in a way, because it's you're establishing characters and you're kind of getting all that stuff that you wanted to get out in that story across. Yeah. And man, okay, so for the people who haven't seen it, it's the same kind of style like as Battlestar Galactica and Lost, where there's definitely a show-to-show kind of like plot, but it's all thematic and it all has this kind of series, running series kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. So season 1 is a big old arc, story arc with season 1. And yeah, little things might happen, like I wouldn't say Monster of the Week, but little things might happen that are just for that episode.
Yeah.
But for the most part, season 1 and 2 are full-on story arcs. And that's what makes season 2 so great, is that it has such a great story arc that when you get near the end of it, you're like, wow, that feels satisfying to have gone through that whole thing. And that's why 3 was kind of a letdown for me, because it just felt a little wishy-washy.
Yeah.
And 4 is a big question mark for me right now as well. 1 and 2 is it, man. I'm telling you.
I think watching Justified and being so sucked in has made me understand what is, in a way, how I like other TV shows, because Justified doesn't have, like, it's all good. All the actors are great. They're fun to watch. They're enjoyable. They play their characters well, and the dialogue is well written. But it doesn't have, it doesn't stand on the strength of dialogue alone. Like, I love House of Cards. We talked about it before. I love Firefly. Those shows stand on the strength of their dialogue and their character interaction alone. Like, I don't. The story is important, but that's not why I'm watching every episode. Justified, the story is what brings me back. It's like watching all these characters that are so well realized, sort of like play with each other and grow out into these new interesting story and character arcs. Like, you watch characters evolve in the first, second season, and it's like, it's totally believable, which suckers me in every time, whether it's The Wire, whether it's House of Cards, whether it's this.
Yeah, and also I think what maybe you were alluding to is one thing they do really well is style. Or like stylized stuff. So I feel like, yeah, maybe not as much dialogue, or the dialogue doesn't really, it's not relying on it as much, because it's like, there's some one-liners from like a kind of a cowboy western kind of feel. Like, you better not do that thing or I'm going to shoot you. Right. You know, and like, but it's the moment that's so great. There's some stuff that actually is in this season four that it happens and you're like, whoa. It's more about, it's almost like an action, right? Film or something in that way.
Yeah.
But an action like with like one-liners. Like,
Yeah,
this is the thing I'm going to say right now, and about respect and stuff. I don't know.
A lot of people really get shot in this show.
There is some shooting.
And there's very rarely a survivor. It's often just someone gets shot and they are on the ground.
Which is old
Nobody
West stuff.
Nobody gets teased to their jobs.
So. Yeah. That's like the old school cowboy movie. Like, you know, you shoot the guy and he goes down and that's it.
Yeah.
There's no like bringing him to the hospital.
But it doesn't really... It's sort of
rip some dirt in
like
it.
There's a certain like cowboy mystique, like just like Deadwood. The atmosphere of this story is chief. Like that's why you come back every so is like to meet these characters again and see them kind of rollick and roll through like where is that, Tennessee or something?
Kentucky.
But it's like it's different than Deadwood. It's more subtle, and the characters are somehow more enjoyable and more interesting to watch.
Well, it's also modern day, you know, like, and that's what's interesting. It's kind of gone both sides. It's like it's kind of an old Western, a cowboy thing, but it's also regular Kentucky. This is what happens if you go there today.
Right.
You'll see this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Some weird racism stuff. Some weird, you know, backwoods kind of, you know,
it's weird clashing people of times
and clashing of times. Yeah, and so Deadwood's like so firmly in its time period, and this is like. Well, it feels old, but it's also new. And, like, he's a deputy marshal. Like, better not mess with him because there's, like, a court system and you could go to jail. And, you know, back then it's like, well, just shoot you.
Yeah.
So it's a great mix, and I highly recommend it. And now that Alex has brought it to attention that it's on Amazon Prime, go check that out. Also, I was going to mention, I went to their website, and this is kind of a point of discussion I want to talk about for a second, is websites for shows generally suck.
Yeah.
Like, really bad.
I never go to them. Why is
it's
that?
It's just, like, bad advertising for it.
Bad advertising
for it. If you go to their website, most likely you already enjoy the show. I don't know why they're always trying to sell it to you.
Yeah, right. Nice. Good point. If I had a little dingy, I'll do it. Ding, ding.
No, thank you.
Point. Well, Kuchalova. Well, like, I'm looking at the page right now, and one of the big things was, like, you know, we're on Facebook. I don't care. I don't care. I want, like you said, I want to watch the show.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, looking at it now over your shoulder, like, they have some interactive maps and some, like, games and stuff. So that's all kind of cheesy on their dedicated homepage. Like, if I go to your homepage, weirdly, I don't really want to play your games. I just kind of want to know interesting stories about
your show. Want to get involved in the show.
Involved in the show. Second screen stuff, which is becoming much more popular now.
Yeah.
So to that point, there is a couple things that are good. In general, there's a lot of that kind of, you know, social games and Facebook stuff and all that stuff. But there is a section that has some information on Elmore Leonard, which is the guy who wrote some of the crime novel stuff, which Justified's based on.
God, I'm meaning to read that. Yeah, every episode is like based on the short story or the novel.
Yeah, or like a version of, you know, they're kind of taking liberties with it.
Yeah.
They actually have little wristbands, all the guys in the crew, that say, what would Leonard do? Or what would Elmore do? Or something like that. Because they're trying to think of, like, if they come up with a new action or something, will it fit the books, you know, whatever.
The theme.
But so, yeah, on this site, there's some stuff like that. There's some information on that. And there's also a little bit of video, like, extra stuff, you know? But it is usually hard to come by, like, a good site.
I just want to get, like, stuck in the metaverse of the show.
Right.
I want to, you know.
And I think, like I said, that's coming very soon, or it is here now with second screen stuff, you know, with Microsoft Glass and then with, I don't know, anything else you can think of.
Yeah. See, it's fascinating you said the metaverse. Like, so often in, like, a sci-fi or fantasy or historical fiction show like Deadwood, I do want to, like, if I'm going to go for a second screen to seek information, like, beyond the basic cast list and who the actors are, I want to know, like, you know, what's more about the world? Like,
right.
Like who speaks what language in The Language of Firefly? Like, what's important about the ship? Like, in Deadwood, did it really happen? Where is the thing? So in, for Justified, like, I want to know where this is taking place in Kentucky. I want to know, like, what it was based on. So I kind of think it's cool they're showing more information about Elmore Leonard, and they have an, like, an interactive map there called the Crime Line. That stuff is neat. I'd love to see that on my tablet. I don't need to see it on my PC. I'm never going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to watch the show.
Yeah, that's why, again, more second screen and more apps. Like, you know, more like an app. You get an app for Justified. Maybe that'll be more.
And for all we know, they might have. I mean, they don't have this clearly if you're just watching it on your PS3, you're streaming Amazon Prime. But, you know, Xbox Smart Glass ties into movies and TV shows. So they may already have this.
And also the Wii U.
Yeah.
With certain shows, and mainly sports events, my brother tells me, is they have some of this kind of information. So, and by the way, side note, you definitely need one for Game of Thrones, which starts up soon.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's working on one right now, a second screen kind of thing for UVerse.
Oh, yeah?
Like
and
an app?
It's more like a website, and it's an app for, like, the customers. Like, if you're a UVerse customer, you get this thing.
Nice.
But also, they're kind of going to make it go on the website as well.
Does it have a map?
But it has maps. It's got history. It's got the different, you know, the seats and stuff like that. And the what do you call them? You know, the seats, the houses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, house, all the different
house,
places.
House. I haven't actually watched the show. I just read the books.
What?
So my girlfriend doesn't want to watch it.
No.
What? I want to watch it, but, like, she doesn't want to watch it, and we share a TV, and...
Just put it on one day, I'm sure. I don't know. My girlfriend's the same way until I start watching an episode. I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch it without you, and then she'll come in and she'll sit down.
Yeah.
What?
She can't stay
away.
We
also don't have HBO, so I'd have to go buy it on, like, iTunes. Yeah.
Well, you can get it a variety of ways.
That's true.
Stop it with your...
People could lend
also,
it to you. I might have the DVDs.
Prime. If anyone has the DVDs in the office, that will probably cinch the deal. Because I'd be like, well, look, someone just put these in my hand, and now they're in our machine. Let's watch them.
Actually, I was given the... someone had a digital copy. You know, when you get the DVD, you get also a digital copy, which, by the way, that's a whole thing. What? Okay. But I was helpful. I was thankful this time it happened because a friend of mine gave me the USB... Mm-hmm. And said, here, take this. This is Game of Thrones. I was like,
And of course, you're like, I don't take pirated digital media. And he was like, no, it's clean. And you're like,
Actually, I wouldn't have said that.
Oh.
And then B.
No, I was going to say, you're always the advocate.
And then B, it was actually from the purchased copy anyhow, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Watch Game of Thrones, I guess you're saying. But yeah, Alex, come on.
But Justified is free.
Justified is free.
With Amazon Prime.
If you are a Prime member.
That's like the one service I'm not a member of.
I actually bought Justified Season 2 on DVD. I just remember that.
It's good, though,
because
right?
of special features.
Oh,
we've talked about this before.
I do miss having
unless they give you digital versions of special features,
you're still going to go out and
get
buy
the
physical.
DVD.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for... I'm trying to find a really good, like, box set of the Star Wars Blu-rays
that are affordable, too.
Yeah.
And Blade Runner.
All right, let's move on. Justified's awesome. Go check it out. Let's talk about SimCity. Because of Mr. One, Alex Kuchelews.
Yeah.
Been playing it.
I was on the fence on buying it until about 10 minutes before you could stop pre-ordering it. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it because I found a good deal for the pre-order or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it, was able to load, no preloading. That sucked. So everyone was downloading it right when it released. So I didn't get to play it on the first night at midnight when it released.
That's kind of a downer. You're like, it's midnight. I'm supposed to have it. Oh, well.
Yeah, I think they went live at like 12:30, 12:45, and it wasn't a big download. So it was done by like 1, but I couldn't stay up.
Yeah.
So then I got home last night, went to go play it. Servers totally messed up, completely full, 20-minute queues, not even a queue. So the way this system works is if the server is busy, you try and load into it, like WoW, it says, oh, I'm sorry, we can't let you in right now. It's too full. Check again in 20 minutes, and then it has a little countdown timer.
What?
You can't log in again for 20 minutes. You can go to another server. I think they have a couple European servers and an Oceanic or Oceania server.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And apparently there's no lag, I guess. Apparently they're all cross whatever.
Yeah.
So those were kind of working, but it was buggy. It was kicking me out. The servers were just failing. It was pretty bad. It made Diablo 3 launch look really smooth.
Ooh. Yeah. And so that's where you are right now?
I played for maybe an hour last night, and I spent about 2.5 hours trying to get it to work.
And it seems like a day and a half to even get the dang thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you about the DRM stuff, because obviously that's on everybody's tips of everybody's tongues.
Yep.
And I think I was asking this in the office, but we'll tell the listeners. I wanted to know if there was multiple save states,
right?
Because the whole one of the main things people like doing is to destroy their town and then to be like, okay, I was just kidding. Go back to the original town. And you can't do that because it's a cloud save.
It's all, it's everything synced to one another. The whole point, I guess, of the new SimCity, it's a like a completely new system where they're really pushing multiplayer. They're counting on you and your cities to be symbiotic with your other cities.
Right.
Or cities of your friends in one region. So, like, if you're low on power, instead of building a new power plant, you go and you borrow or you buy power from your friend's city.
But what if you don't have friends and you don't want friends and you just want to play it by yourself?
Then you got to buy. Then you got to build your own cities, a bunch of them, to make them all work with one another.
So you have to make cities surrounding your cities, basically, what you're saying?
Yeah, basically, you pick a region, and then a region can hold up to 16 cities. There's smaller regions and there's middle regions, but the biggest one holds 16. And so you have to pick them. And if they're connected by road or rail or something or ferry, then you can trade with it.
It seems like more work, though. So what I want to do is I want to sit down and make a city and then smash it with some meteorites.
But
and
you,
then
you
I want
to build the perfect city. Right?
I do want to build, but I don't want to build six perfect cities around my one perfect city.
You got to be. It's trying to teach you to like I don't know, build one for a mining city, and one will be a gambling city for entertainment. Yeah. One will be a science city to educate people.
I don't know.
And all those people go to other places to work, and it's a lot of commuting, and it's simulating real life.
That sounds like work.
What the game does do well is simulation. Like everything is simulated in the game.
Let's talk about some positives. The physics. Is there I remember seeing an early thing at E3 last year.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like there was actual some sort of real world physics going on.
The graphics are awesome. So when you destroy a building, the physics, you'll see the building topple over. It's really awesome. The cars are probably the best part. The traffic, it's simulated real traffic. So every time there's a stop sign, the cars will stop and they'll start backing up if they're trying to pull onto a busy highway.
Mm.
You know how you'll get the big line of cars at a stop sign just trying to turn in. Yeah, you'll get bad traffic, and so you have to figure out a way to fix it.
Great, you can go from bad traffic in real life to bad traffic.
At least you get to control this traffic.
No, totally.
Laugh at them,
Alex. You're formulating a plan or an idea. Or what are you?
Well, I mean, I was just so you're talking about at E3. We saw that they were promoting, and this was months and months ago. It would go down to an individual sim level on the simulation mathematics. Mm-hmm. So basically, every person would have a home, and they would be modeled driving
have
to
a job.
Their office and driving to their
they have a schedule.
Yeah.
Rush hour times are worse at traffic than midnight or something.
Yeah, and that is fascinating. I have to say I haven't played it. Alex has got some time on it. We have a reviewer taking his time with it. He's playing it for a week or so.
Hopefully he can get on.
So that's the point, is hopefully by the time you hear this, the server issues should hopefully be
I'm hoping by tonight, man.
Yeah.
They're putting out some patches today. They said in the next 4 or 5 hours they're going to be rolling out some new patches. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping by the time I get home, it's going to be all good.
Yeah. So, and talking to him, it sounds like the game is designed more to facilitate multiplayer. And I can sort of see a lot of people are complaining that has to do with DRM and trying to charge you for money, because basically you can no longer play alone. You have to be online.
Right.
And you can't build cities as large as you used to be able to, right?
Right. They're about 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers, where the old ones are 128 kilometers by 120.
Do you remember seeing those, was it videos or pictures of the perfect city? Like some weird guy in Japan somewhere, and he's
I've made
the perfect city, and it's no landmass, no more grass.
Ecologies.
It's just all perfect symbiotic.
Yeah. I think that was SimCity 2000 he did that in.
Yeah.
It's just arcology is on every single square of land. It's amazing.
People are amazing at those old games, and it's beautiful to look at too. And this one has some people that are like that. I mean, they're all smaller plots now, but people have been doing really good at, gotten really good already at building these kind of cool cities.
You know, it's interesting. I remember also D3, especially it was their press conference, I think, they really promoted this idea of green.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was going to be a very environmentally friendly game. And they really hammer that home. But I don't see anything or hear any news about it coming out.
Except
right
if you're the garbage town.
The
industrial town of pollution. And it's really cool. Yeah. Like I was saying with simulation, they care about wind flow. There's a million data maps that you can look at, from pollution to radiation, wind maps, all that kind of cool stuff. So if your wind flow is blowing towards a neighbor city and you have a nuclear power plant or something, that nuclear power runoff or whatever, the smoke will actually run off into If you have a nuclear meltdown, I guess nuclear
power is
pretty
clean. Yeah, because a Grayler reactor would be okay.
So if it melts down, all that radiation smoke will go into your neighboring city, and they have to deal with it. And so it's kind of funny, kind of cool.
So the problems I have with it, I'm really interested. Watched a lot of developer diaries and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What you told me, I like. I want multiple save states. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's.
And we were talking about why they can't do multiple save states. It's because it's so interconnected with everything else.
Yeah.
If you save at June whatever 3rd and they're sinking to June 5th, it'd be weird. But it still makes me want it. And then the last thing is I don't want to play with anybody. Like SimCity was created originally for a single player simulation experience, and that's why it was so amazing. That's why SimAnt and SimTown and all those things were so great. Is you could just. Now I really want to go home and play those, actually. Mm-hmm. You can just buckle down, hunker down and play that thing and figure stuff out and see the little things going on. I don't want you all in my game.
Well, so, like, I loved SimCity 2000 as a kid because it was a God game, right? Like that and every other God game, SimAnt, Populous, whatever, Black and White, all fantastic because they gave you full control. And that was the point of the game, was to give you this amazing sandbox to play in.
Right.
And the new SimCity, I've held off on buying in. I'll probably buy in later this week when the servers sort of iron out. But it's not the same game anymore.
No,
and I don't think they do a very good job of telling people who are fans of this thing. Because the last game came out 10 years ago. So there are a lot of people out there like, oh my God, the new SimCity is out. It's a pretty good game, it seems like.
It's almost a reboot.
Yeah.
And they changed focus from building up your big cities to making a town simulation.
Yeah.
Do you think which would be so weird, if they got influenced by the whole Zynga stuff? I mean, like, it's because basically Zynga stole from them, right? And created a whole business on their back, in my opinion.
Like the Farmville and stuff?
I don't think it's Zynga. Cityville. I mean, I don't think it's any Zynga influence beyond the fact that the way Zynga has succeeded and then now spectacularly failed has influenced the entire gaming industry. It's that their own, it's an EA game. And EA games have a policy or have a history of building microtransactions into
DRM,
EA too,
servers,
but also just that kind of that multiplayer aspect of it. Like you can't do one damn thing in some of those social games without having to interact with your friends to
at
do it.
At least you don't have to get somebody to like your page to help your city out.
There's no Facebook side game where you can level up when you're playing.
I've watched a lot of streams since I can't get on to play a lot. But I've watched a lot of streams of people playing SimCity. It's a lot deeper than it looks on the surface.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's not hard to believe they came to the multiplayer focus from a design standpoint rather than from money, because it does seem predicated on the way cities actually work. It's just...
Right.
And I really wasn't even saying money perspective, just more like that's what people are doing now
just
in
design.
Games. You can't make a game. I mean, there's boardrooms all over this place right now, all over this place being the world, and all over the place, and they're going like, hey, listen, where's our social aspect? Because we need that, because that's what players want now,
Yeah.
So
everyone's connected,
I just wish you could terraform.
Terraform taken out
gone.
Was pretty bad.
You can't change the landscape.
Because it'll mess their physics up probably a bit. Something I don't know.
Yeah, everything's kind of predetermined, and the fact that you have to mine for minerals and stuff, you can't. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm still gonna get it. All that said, and Alex will probably get it as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, the only bad sides, other than the servers, are basically no terraforming and the fact that you can't destroy your cities without saving them.
Well, and that you have to make multiple cities in order.
And
to
the
actually
maps
be
are small. Like there's only one size of map, just different kind of configurations.
Right.
Like some areas have
different
more
hills.
Minerals.
Yeah.
They're just too small. I played it in the beta, and you run out of space within an hour.
I guarantee bigger maps will come in with DLC.
Oh,
I guarantee it.
That's a money thing.
Yeah.
Before we leave this conversation of Sim, I just remembered something.
Oh.
And I don't know where you can find this. Maybe it's on Good Old Games now or something. I don't know. I don't think they have that. But Sim Golf.
No way.
Yeah, it was amazing. I still have the CD-ROM.
It's like build your own golf courses?
Build your own golf courses. Wait, hold on. Then you get to play those golf courses, but it doesn't go into some stupid 3D view of getting on the course. I don't think it does. I think it just shows a little guy, a little pixelated guy, and you can see them playing the golf game. I was so amazed by creating the course and then just watching them play.
Yeah,
I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
It's
actually,
like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Exactly.
For golf.
I'm gonna go play it tonight actually because I'm getting myself so hyped up over it.
Yeah.
It is literally, and there's terraforming. Because imagine creating, hole two and you're working on this huge hill and they got to get over it. And then you see them totally fail each time because you made it impossible.
Yeah.
Sim Golf Heart.
How is that just not on the iPad already?
Oh, that's true.
They have SimCity.
Okay. Well, and that's perfect for it.
Hmm.
Last topic of today's show. What? topics, shows.
Why do you even have a list? Just burn that.
What's hot right now?
Okay.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, there's some stats.
Let's riff.
Flip the table over.
Tomb Raider is a game that came out. Speaking of a reboot, I could have done it earlier. It would have been a better transition.
That's all right.
Speaking of a reboot.
It's the year of the reboot.
Tomb Raider came out, the new version, which is where Lara Croft has less boobs, is more of a, well, younger. Mm-hmm. It's a prequel to the bigger boob version of her. And also the just kick-ass version of her, where she just shoots guns, jumps in the air, fights off tigers, and
she's kind of a spelunks. Noob.
She's a noob. But she's also a tortured noob.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, basically this whole game starts with, and you've probably seen it in the footage right now if you're following it, she's just in pain. She's got to deal with a lot of weird stuff. She's jumping over things. It's kind of like a beginning almost
she's
of
in
Uncharted.
She's in a difficult time of her life.
She's in a difficult time of her life. She has all these new feelings.
Yep.
So it's a pretty much like I played about an hour and a half, I think, and you played what?
I played about half an hour.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
So the beginning is it's very Uncharted, mm-hmm. very Uncharted, and you know she's just a young girl who's trying to like, hey, this would be cool if we went and checked out some stuff, but then all this bad stuff happens to her, and that's kind of like the beginning of it.
Yeah.
She's just bloody a lot and dirty a lot. And
I saw some death animations from, like, I don't know, like some GIFs of some of the deaths from that game. They are messed up.
There's some pretty weird stuff in the very beginning of the game.
Tomb Raider is a really strange game because I think it's if you enjoy Tomb Raider or you enjoy playing Uncharted, if you just enjoy a good action-adventure game on a jungle island, it's pretty great. It's mm-hmm. The storytelling is well done. The acting is good. The gameplay feels comfortable and controlled. But like, there are weird inconsistencies with the tone of that game because she is such like a young, vulnerable woman.
It's dark.
Yeah.
It's dark, but it oscillates back and forth between like during the cutscene you feel real bad for this virtual human being. She's just being beaten up and chased and when she's out of her element, she's hurt and she doesn't have any, and it's terrible. And then you go back to the game and she's just a murdering machine.
That's interesting. Oscillate, that's a great word for it because yeah, then also you're just like hopping around like an idiot hitting A button, you know, and like doing all these kind of video gamey things and like, you know, getting salvaging equipment and brandishing stuff, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh no, please don't hurt me!"
Yeah,
I
kind of
could even
like
handle
strapped
this.
Strapped with guns and stuff.
Yeah,
and
like, she doesn't have guns in the beginning, but yeah.
And I want to be fair; like they have pitched this game as like a coming of age, as a really horrible, like dark, realistic coming of age for this woman in a sort of in a high action setting, and like that's hard to do to make a game that's fun to play when you're playing a character that is bad at everything and having the crap beaten out of her. Like, that's hard.
Yeah, in the very beginning, you literally have, like, you're holding onto your side for a lot of the game.
Oh, there's this horrible scene right in the beginning when you land on that
splinter type thing. Spoiler, yeah, the first thing happens.
I mean, just some bad stuff happens to Laura. And if you mess up and you have to watch her die, some even worse stuff happens to Laura.
Although, that being said, you know me, playing games, I like try to break them right away. And the first thing I did was the minute I got this beautiful vista, by the way, beautiful kind of like over this cliff kind of thing and the water down there. I was like, this is beautiful. I'm going to jump off.
Don't do that.
I did immediately and just wanted to see. And yeah, she makes some crazy screams. She's like, oh, yeah. So she died there.
It's almost like, but also, I remember the original Tomb Raider when you fall from a really high place and just the sound of her hitting the ground.
Oh, yeah.
That was the worst.
That was actually worse than it is in here because this one she just kind of fades away and screaming or something. But yeah, but there's invisible walls. I mean, I know there's invisible walls in almost every game, but they're like, again, weirdly like I'm jumping in the air going towards an area and I can't go that area. And I go, jeez. Because it's so that the problem is, you know, we always talk about this. It contradicts the beautifulness of the game because it's pretty. I mean, this thing's pretty. Like the mud looks good. Like blood looks good. The sunlight and everything looks really good.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you jump towards where you should be able to go and you can't go. And you go, oh, it's a video game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Reality.
But I'm excited to play it. It's got a weird subplot of like something to do with this island. Maybe like Lost. But like there's maybe ghosts on the island or magical stuff. I don't know what's happening. So there's that subplot too.
I think it's a really, you know, the Tomb Raider franchise has a long and like kind of infamous history. I think it's a really good game, and I applaud the developers. It's
a good
solid
reboot.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's just
came like late in the review.
Yeah,
it's, you're like, you know what? No, it's actually awesome.
I mean, the hour I've played, like, God knows how it goes from here, but I've got a pretty good handle on how the combat works and how Lara moves the environment and how the puzzles work, and It's fun.
Oh, I gotta say, I really like the bow and arrow.
Yeah,
it's for some. I mean, not for quick and dirty combat because then you're in trouble. But like from far away, that kind of stealth part of it and stuff, I felt really good.
This is the year of the bow and arrow.
It is, isn't it?
I don't know. It's been ever since like the Hunger Games got really popular.
Yeah, every girls and bow and arrows.
All right, I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it. It works.
I
agree with that. I love the game. I really, like, and I love is a strong word. I like the game a lot. I just find some inconsistencies and weirdness, like we're talking about, like the tone of the game. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. You know, like am I supposed to be like, oh, it's just really bad, like you said, and this is kind of fun. You're what is probably in their mind when the developers are like, hey, let's put this girl in all these bad situations, and you got to be that person now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like you said, it oscillates, and you're like, oh, it's just kind of like I'm awesome, though, you know? So what? Which one am I? And then the other thing that's kind of weird is those characters are paper thin. Her friends seem like they got nothing to them, right? I mean, come on.
Well, there's the grizzled old sea captain.
Exactly.
There's the haughty
Asian girl.
Archaeologist, and then there's the
fitting all the archetypes.
Also haughty.
Asian roommate.
Yeah.
And she's like just – and by the way, the Asian roommate seems like – nothing is wrong with the situation that's happening. You know what I mean? Like she finally, spoiler again, but she finally catches up with her friends at some point because she's away from them, you know, running, screaming, almost dying like a million
times.
Sounds
a lot like Far Cry 3.
Nice. Yeah.
It's like a female version or something, maybe a darker, grittier version.
Yeah, and then, but even in that one, when you met up with people, they're like, whoa, are you okay?
Yeah.
This one, literally, we came around the corner and her roommate there, she's like, oh, hi.
Hi,
Laura. What's up?
Hey.
I met this crazy old man.
You want to go to the beach later?
Yeah. It totally looks like it could rain, but I don't know. We should try it. That's totally
like
it.
Turn again,
and so I feel like that kind of – the characters mess it up too because I don't feel like I can get lost in that.
Yeah. That's kind of – that's how I know it's already a good game playing through it, and also why it's sort of disappointing in that like – I'm having a great time, but every time it goes to a cutscene or a story involved, like, it kicked back out because I have a hard time believing this character is going through the struggle she's going through and then giving me such control and such a feeling of flexibility and power when I actually have control over the character.
But what I hear you saying is you want to like it and you want to be where the parts that are good, you want it to be, you know, you just want to stay there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. I wish it didn't oscillate so weirdly in tone.
That's a great review. We just said Tomb Raider oscillates too much.
Yeah.
Before we leave Tomb Raider, what do you think about the QuickTime events? Because I've generally been like, I hate them, I'm over them. They seem to work. They weren't too many. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
They're better than in most games that have them, like God of War. I find them just frustrating. They're better paced and they're more forgiving. I do say, like, the first one I saw, I had a hard time telling what was going on because, like, you have to hit Y or something, which you have to guess it's going to be Y because the color of the circle is yellow.
Yeah.
And you pass up the word Y the last second, and I totally missed it.
I died, like, 15 times in a row, which, by the way, seeing that same animation of her getting strangled is just
worst.
Annoying
You're
and creepy.
You're going to get desensitized or need therapy.
It was, like, 1 in the morning. I'm like, and she's like, oh, I've died again. Oh, I'm dying again. Like, gross. But what that was is that little circle with the Y, I didn't know when to hit Y.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess I'll hit it now before it shows up, or I'll hit it as it's showing up, or at the end.
I didn't
problem. Know. Dead
you learn
many
it,
times.
You learn it after a couple of failures, you learn it's not a big deal. But
you learn
it,
with Laura.
Yeah.
After you die with Laura.
Except
a bunch.
I had to watch Laura get her head smashed in by a boulder like three times.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
Was it the first? Yeah. She got killed a variety of ways.
The gif I saw was where she got spiked through the throat.
Oh, God.
And then she was trying to get off of it, but then she just died on it.
If you listeners want to get an idea of what we're talking about with a little bit of humor on the top, go Google Conan O'Brien. Plays.
Oh, that's right. He did it.
Tomb Raider.
He?
Yeah, and ooh. Like during that playthrough, you see the scene where she gets like impaled,
through the mouth.
Like I don't know how to feel about it. I guess because it grosses me out. I'm very uncomfortable with the way this character gets hurt in this game, and I guess that's good. I don't want to see someone get hurt even in a virtual environment, but still, I don't want to see her get hurt.
Well, it's more annoying when you see her get hurt like 5 times in a row.
Yeah.
And it's like because it's
a lot of motivation not to die.
You know what's interesting? This reminds me of which game was that? The game where I'm gonna space it.
Where does it take place?
You die. Nice.
When 20 questions.
It's a new. It wasn't Just Cause. The guy shaved his. He had shaved head.
Hitman.
No. I know that is true, but. It had physics. Anyways, I'm trying to remember what it is, but right near the end, you could do like you get shot, but if you shoot the guy back in time, then you don't die. Do you remember that game? Oh my gosh.
Sounds like Legacy of Kain, sorry, but that's not what we're talking about.
Anyways, I was just going to say, and that's going to, oh, the internet's going to
kill
me.
What was it on?
Is it recent?
Yeah, it's
like, what year?
It had that cool, like, graph, like, a lot of post graphics, like, or a lot of, like, kind of graphics.
Oh, God. Yeah, now we have to finish this because I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
And, like, it was like,
is it Dead Man, Kain and Lynch?
No, it was like a lot of, it had like a high movie quality. Now it's just going to be the whole show.
Oh, Max Payne 3.
Max Payne 3, thank you.
Okay.
And nice. By the way, anyone who well ever done, listened Alex. To this, up until we just said Max Payne 3 was like, you idiots.
Yeah.
So in that, at the very end, if you get killed, they kind of show that in a ragdoll physics kind of way, how you died. Like you got shot in the head and then you hit the cabinet and then you fell down. You know, like it showed a little of that kind of after it's over, that's how you died. And I kind of liked that. I was like, that's realistic to show like how it ended. It wasn't just like the screen goes black and reboot. So that's that's what's kind of interesting about this one. Where they're like, now we're going to show you how Laura dies.
And some animation.
It's pretty bad.
I think Max Payne was different because the character was a lot less likable, and they weren't quite as graphic. So if you saw Max take a couple bullets and slump to the ground or go over a balcony or something, I mean, you
got shot in the head a bunch of times, like, but
It had to end sometime. Like, way to go out, sucker. Like, that's how it is. But, like, then you just reload and go again. But then Laura, you really feel bad for her from the very beginning.
Is it a male-female thing?
So that's...
It's a whole topic right there.
You know
what?
It very well could be, but in their marketing, they really pushed before this game came out that, like, they were going to make Laura less sexual than she used to be and make her more childish and add a little, like, baby fat because they wanted players to like, feel like they had to
I didn't see any baby fat. All I know.
So,
that's all I'm saying.
So if that's the case, if it is the case of, like, feeling protective, that was one of their marketing points. They're like, we are going to make you want to protect this character.
Sounds like it's working right now for you.
I can't protect her against the game. Like, the game does horrible things to her.
He wants to kill her.
Yeah, I just want to
gruesome
stop.
Ways.
I don't want to see this anymore.
I don't feel bad enough for her. You know, like, I don't feel attached. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing is, like, other games, you get into the character. Also, this one starts right away. You're like, just like Uncharted type thing. You know, like, here's your trouble. You know, get out of it.
Yeah.
And then more trouble for a while, and then also some characters.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I like, you know, like an RPG or some other things where you can kind of sit down, get invested in the character, and then you really do have some more of a bond with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Skyrim was just so massive for me. I felt totally attached to that character. I still do to this day, even because of the things that I went on with them.
So here's a weird question. Do you have fun when you're playing those games?
Like, which ones?
Any of those games where you find you're really attached to the character or the story.
Or you're just worried all the time that they're going to die.
Beyond worry, like, I've kind of been, as I play more Dark Souls and other games, that are like, in like a game called Cart Life, which I recommend everyone go look up. It's free to play right now. It's on PC. They're not fun. Like, they're not, but they are They are enjoyable and they're satisfying.
No, I would say, to answer the question, I would say yes, I had insane fun with Skyrim.
Yeah.
Because I guess it's a fine line between being worried and just like being invested.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in Skyrim I was invested, but I wasn't really worried. And plus, Skyrim, you save everywhere.
Yeah.
So I like walk one step, pick up a bottle, and save.
Yeah.
There's the one before the bottle happened, you know. So yeah, I think I wasn't really. But things like, what is it? Hard Rain.
Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain. Hard Rain is, I think,
it's a movie, right?
That's a movie, yeah. With.
It's probably a heavy metal song, too.
No, with Michael Douglas, I believe. I think. And there's, like, Japanese guys.
Japanese guys?
Anyways, with Heavy Rain, you go, now I'm worried because I know I'm going to do this whole thing again.
What?
You know, no, like, that sequence.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so even though I might be invested in the character, I'm more worried than invested.
Yeah.
Because
you're
going
to waste your time.
I'm going to waste my time.
But when you pull it off, that's you don't have fun, and you may not even feel joy because that's a dark game, but you feel satisfied, right?
When? What?
In Heavy Rain, whenever you successfully finish a section.
I don't know if I do.
Okay, so jump back to Skyrim. Right? When I'm playing Skyrim, I'm having fun. Like, I'm fighting dragons, and I'm climbing
and arrows,
things.
Spells,
and
all this stuff.
It's great. I'm having a great time. Yeah. But then I go to play Dark Souls, which is similar in theme. Like, I'm fighting dragons, and I'm climbing around
it's
in ruins
slower.
And stuff.
Nice segue to Dark Souls, by the way.
It's terrifying. Yeah. I will not play that game for days. I put it aside for almost 2 weeks once because I was scared to go back
that scares
and
me.
Fight the enemies.
That game scares
but
me.
But when you beat them,
yeah, no, that's okay.
It's
yeah.
so satisfying.
Good segue. It's
something
totally.
Worth,
I think it's a different type
about.
Of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different type of thing. Dark Souls is a whole other kind of beast. Dark Souls is also very similar to just really hard games. We mentioned this on the show before, Game Center CX. If you haven't watched it, go watch it.
I need to
if you're
go watch
any,
that,
if you like
actually.
Any video games, and especially want to take a trip down memory lane and stuff like that, And also, like I think I mentioned on this podcast, when you watch it, it's just, it's a Japanese guy playing all these really old video games and he has to beat them.
I always feel so bad.
I feel so bad. But you also feel like, oh, I'm a wimp right now. Mm-hmm. I can't even like play like a game and because I need to save it every 5 feet.
Quick saves.
Yeah. So this kind of gets your kind of video game muscle back by watching that show. Mm-hmm. Where was I going with that? It's a different type of experience because those games you go, man, it is really tough, but when I get it, it feels great.
Yeah.
And so Dark Souls is totally that. Yeah, and you were saying that you're still playing it now because it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Dark Souls came out for consoles in 2011 and on PC last year, and it's super old. They've already announced a sequel and are talking about what's going to come in it. Mm-hmm. I just picked it up on sale one day last year and started playing it and haven't stopped.
Yeah,
I'll probably top out at over 100 hours. It's the only game I can play right now.
But the back to the idea of like being scared because you don't want to redo things. You redo things all the time in that game. Especially the part that I hate the most actually is the whole having to be without the soul thing. Oh, wait, isn't it like the main thing?
What do you mean by that?
When you lose, you kind of collect a bunch of stuff, or you collect souls. Or
You collect souls. Every time you kill an enemy, you get souls, the souls. And you spend that on it.
And then when you die, you kind of like they're there and you have to go back and get them.
Yeah. When you die, you have one chance. You always resurrect. You'll never fail the game. You come back at a bonfire and you can go back and get your old souls where your corpse was, but if you die again, they're gone forever.
Yeah. That idea of just having to go back and forth a lot to get things that I left behind was annoying. Also, there was those big monsters that show up at some point.
Oh, that's the best part.
They're awesome, but especially when you get kind of like you figure out how to maybe beat them.
Uh-huh.
I was, and there's one, and people might be listening might know this. It was some sort of like long bridge, and there's these big towers, and I climbed the tower. One of the ideas is to go to the top of the tower.
That's the first mini boss.
Okay, and you like hit him from there or something like that. You hit him or you go up the tower. Oh, yeah, you jump on the top of the tower and you jump on him.
Yeah.
Kind of do that diving attack.
Mm-hmm.
It was working fine, right? I'm like, okay, I got this. The third time I walked up, because it's a little, procedural, but there's some things that run that are different and random.
Mm-hmm.
I get near the top of the tower and he jumps on top of the tower.
Yep.
Oops.
I was like, you can't get up here.
Yep.
You're not supposed to get up here.
Breaking the rules. Right?
Yeah.
He can do that.
He decided to. And that's like now you're dead.
Yeah.
Dark Souls, and the new one's coming out, I don't know, sometime next year.
In case you haven't heard it from everyone else out
I know.
There,
we're breaking news on Tech Guy Play This podcast.
But think of the Dark value. Souls. I played $10 for this game, used, and I'm getting
100 hours.
Over 100 hours. And I'm super happy to go home and play it every night. It's fantastic.
Movies are overrated. Going out to the movies.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, yeah. I recently went to a movie with my girlfriend, Identity Theft. We walked out.
Really?
Wow.
Okay. I have not walked out of a movie in a long time. I was like, this is only going to get worse. It was really bad.
Wow.
Yeah. My girlfriend and I walked out of The Last Stand a month or two ago. But
that's understandable.
Wait, what is that?
That was the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Johnny Knoxville. Why'd you even go to that one?
Well, first of all, because she's a diehard Schwarzenegger fan, remember?
Right,
we still haven't
right.
finished the Schwarzenegger-a-thon, but also it was because there was some food poisoning that came to light during the show.
Oh, so there's multiple reasons.
Yeah. But the movie wasn't that bad. It was kind of fun.
Hey, we're done with the show. We've actually went longer on three topics than I thought we could ever do. Mm-hmm. So maybe this crew right here is a pretty knowledgeable crew.
Don't come in here with a plan.
Oh, yeah. See, it's the winging it.
Off the top of your head.
We had mini notes. We can do some mini notes.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Kuchilova, as we leave, where are you on Twitter and what are you about?
I'm at thebrowncoat88.
And what are you about?
What am I about? I'm going to summarize.
Yeah. Say one sentence.
I enjoy writing about things, but gaming more.
Ooh, period. I like it.
Wow.
Alex.
So concise.
Alex. Double Alex.
Yeah.
Alex Warro, where are you on the internet?
I guess you can find me on Twitter at AWAWRO.
And Alex, what are you about?
I'm all about games and hardware and coffee.
And Demon Souls.
And Demon Souls.
Demon Souls.
Dark Souls.
And fermenting wine. And ice cream in the park. If you follow me on Twitter, you're going to get a lot of stuff about games. GDC's coming up. You're going to get some stuff about PC World hardware. And you're going to get some pictures of us eating ice cream in the park.
Adorable.
Instagram.
It's great.
I am Onawa, Onawa, on Twitter. I'm also carlosrodella.com. That's where I have a bunch of stuff. And TechHive has an email. If you want to use it, you can. It's entertainment@techhive.com, not at Play This. And if you email us, I think we'll probably just give you a present because we don't get 1,000 emails. We just get like some.
Can I send one for the mystery present?
You can't get a present.
Oh, you'll never know. Yeah. It's me.
But we will work together to find something awesome in the office to send you, the listener.
Yeah,
that sounds exciting.
Yeah, that might happen.
I'd really love, do you remember when we were all kids and there used to be video game magazines, and they would get envelopes that had people drawing and like colors on
them.
I would love to get a feel like one of those. I want to get a feel.
Oh, you're asking real the listeners to give you that?
So if you shoot us an email and ask for our mailing address and mail us an actual letter, say anything you want. Say what you hate about the show.
It just says you guys suck, but then it's like nice little caricatures of us.
Tell us what you're watching. Just write in a little crayon, picture of what you're watching.
Okay, that's it. Thanks. And we'll be back regularly now. Sorry, we were away.
Cool, guys. Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.